KWVA, Eugene.
Mark time. Hey, that's cute.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Spooky, that subliminal kid, giving a mad shout out to your area. You're listening to 88.1 KWVA Eugene with the Wild Style Sounds. Easy, peace.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large.
Tell us that it's all for our own protection. Well, I swear.
There we go. There we go. The old theme song. I used to play that all the time to Carl's chagrin, but I had to bring it back. Okay, it's late winter. In fact, it's the last transmission of winter, and it's also St. Patrick's Day, of course. Oh, man. Oh, sound effects. We're playing with this old... Oh, man. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Cheesy fun. Maybe not so much tonight. We're experimenting. Thanks to Brad. Oh, no. Oh, dear. This could just destroy the essential gravity of the program. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
We had to make sure they all work.
Now we know.
They work.
Live on the air. Kathleen is here.
I'm here without the side effects. So.
Hold on. Kathleen's here. There we go.
All right.
Repeat after me.
No, I accidentally booed you.
Oh. Oh. I'm leaving.
Oh, we're getting... You can tell this is an absolutely live and unrehearsed show. In fact, we only met about 2 or 3 minutes ago, right before...
That's right. It is live.
There we go. We'll see what happens.
Live from Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Oh, and by the way, Brad will be back in the show. He was down here about... Yes. Very good.
You asked for it.
Carl is going crazy. He was here a month or two ago, and before he leaves... The area, at least temporarily leaves the area, he'll be doing the show either at the very end of March in 2 weeks or the first week of April. It was real good last time. Well, let's see. Let's just whip through some news. Strangely enough, I mean, I know I talk about this from time to time, let us say, but more of the same. 16 dead on Wednesday, last Wednesday. Rampage killing in southwestern Germany in the town of Winnenden. Former student rolled up to his high school. Prototype of a rampager, it was said. How could this happen? He killed 15 before he killed himself. And within hours in Alabama, the biggest rampage shooting in Alabama, a dozen dead. He was, as somebody pointed out, an ex-Pilgrim's Pride worker and wondered if there's a connection, you know, one of these awful chicken mills where they, you know, mass production chicken like Clinton's Tyson chicken. Anyway, very small town near Georgia in Alabama. Incomprehensible massacre by a young man as quiet as the town. All these comments, you just heard them before, can't believe what's going on. It is our faith in God that keeps us stable, said the local beauty salon owner, who's a minister at the Methodist Church. Keeps us stable. Yeah, sure does.
Well,
amazing
yesterday,
stuff.
Did you hear the one yesterday, the New York City, America's top model tryouts or something, where massive, you know, big numbers of people on the street outside waiting for the thing, and apparently a car backfired. Somebody thought it was fire, somebody thought it was gunfire. Anyway, the whole crowd panicked, and a couple people trampled, kind of just chaos, panic situation. So this, yeah.
Wow.
Ugly, ugly news.
Yeah. Yeah, in the heartland, in this new book, just to mention this in passing, The Lonely American by Jacqueline Olds and Richard Schwartz. I was reading part of this, and some of this is, I've kind of incorporated some of this material into talks in terms of the big rise in single-person households, the isolation, the decrease in friends, the, you know, bigger aloneness, that's part of this thing, I think. Okay, I'm going to rip through some action news, get that out of the way. On Friday, last Friday, hundreds of students clashed with the police in Manila outside the U.S. Embassy and the Filipino Supreme Court. They've had other clashes with the police there, demanding the immediate withdrawal of U.S. forces and also expressing rage at the Filipino government. The U.S. military has been there since 1898, as you may know. And in Kenya, in the Kenyan capital of Nairobi, also last week, thousands of youth who have faced a rising tide of police violence built barricades, beat up journalists, pelted police with stones, and looted businesses. Witnesses said a rally in Nairobi of about 2,000 students more than doubled in size as slum dwellers and jobless, among others, joined in. And in France, and this reminded me of 68, the French May, where they would get a hold of the bosses, the managers of different plants. This was a Sony executive who was held prisoner for 24 hours. This is the videotape factory in southwest France. Angry workers, they were laid off and given a lousy severance thing. And this guy, his name was Serge Foucher, the head of the human resources and the head of personnel, right? Shows up and dropped by to say farewell. They grabbed him and locked him up for 24 hours. Back in France, this was also on Friday, although this wasn't the only thing that happened last week in Greece, especially in Athens and Saloniki. I guess the bigger one. 18 months ago, an anarchist was arrested, accused of bank robbery, and this whole thing has been really hanging fire. Anyway, there was a protest about that because his trial is coming up. In a very posh area of Athens, a kind of ruling class residential area as well, the dozens of expensive shops, luxury cars, banks gutted, smashed, etc., and other worker activity in Piraeus, the seaport of Athens, fighting with port police, other fights on Thursday with neo-Nazis outside the Athens High Court. So, as I mentioned last week, it's more signs that things are maybe the temperature's going back up toward where it was in December. Now this, no one took responsibility for this, but I thought this was interesting, and it might even be more interesting. On Friday, or rather very early Thursday morning, the $28 million Cosmopolitan luxury apartment complex, which is under construction, was completely destroyed by fire. $28 million. So, yeah, a major fire. Downtown, no injuries. Burned down the whole thing. And as I said, nobody took responsibility, but they didn't say, oh, it was just some kind of accident or gas pipe. We don't know yet. That was last week. ALF-wise, this is about 10 days ago, but it was only reported last week. A vehicle belonging to David Gentsch of 1673 Beverly Glen Boulevard in L.A. was burned. Gentsch is a piece of human you-know-what who addicts monkeys to methamphetamines and other street drugs, so they weren't too happy, whoever did this, about animal torture. And you got a whole lot of other things on the, toward the weekend, the 12th and the 13th, McDonald's in Deventer, Holland, the Netherlands, a lot of windows broken out, and in San Francisco on the 13th, KFC had some windows broken out. And there are a number of conferences and get-togethers coming up in spring. I sort of tend to think it's mostly fall, but there's a bunch of them going on. Well, let's see. Here's one. City from Below, sponsored by Red Emma's, among others. And the red is the operative word. This actually doesn't seem very promising, but it's coming up on Friday the 27th through Sunday the 29th in Baltimore. It's doesn't question cities. It's, why did he even bring it up? And the other one, I'll pair it with
news.
This one. Maybe this is the point. News that nobody cares about. Ooh. or applause. I don't know which. And the Bronx Anarchist Fair is coming up. And that is the beginning of April, the first weekend in April. I know why I thought of the other ones. The other one, what is the Bronx Anarchist Fair? And it goes on and on about local grassroots this, you know, community organizing that. Say, wasn't Obama one of these people, you know, doing that, doing their social work stuff? In other words, I don't know what this has to do with anarchy either. But maybe there will be some more interesting things than they announce, conceivably, but I doubt it. Santa Cruz, this is a ways off here, but the Santa Cruz Anarchist Convergence four-day thing, May 7th to the 11th, and that, I bet, will be pretty spicy, pretty fun, even though it's way off. Oh, and I want to thank a friend in Canada for turning me on to this. This hasn't come out yet, but from these reviews and write-ups, there's a book by Keith Farnish, who is new to me. Let's see, is he Canadian or is he English? No, he's from the UK. Keith Farnish, he has a blog, kind of a thing called the Earth Blog. A lot of stuff on here. Sabotage is not an option. It is a necessity. That kind of gives you a little feel for it. Mainstream, the environmental mainstream is obsolete. And perhaps the bigger news here, this book is fairly imminent. It's coming out in the spring at some point, called Time's Up. And it is advertised as proposing something radical, fundamental, and frightening, something long-term, exhilarating, and absolutely necessary, something totally uncivilized. And anyway, from what they put out, it's called Time's Up with an exclamation point. So I'm going to get a hold of that one. And let's see. One more. This is probably make the laugh-o-meter go up here. The brand new copy of ISR, Noam Chomsky's favorite magazine. Indeed. From the International it is the International Socialist Review. Big cover story, Hothouse Earth. So even Marxist-Leninist Trotskyists in their race with the far right to discover the crisis of life on the planet. Anyway, just mention this one thing. It is the cover article, Hothouse Earth, and of course it is strictly about capitalism, even though obviously industrial socialism would give you precisely the same result. And here's a quote that they put in brackets in big letters. Marx talked of social relations becoming a fetter to the further development of society. Nothing illustrates this point better than the incapacity of capitalist social relations to address the issue of fossil fuels. Well, the further development of society, it takes a lot of brass to come out implying a strong support for Marx and his dedication to the further development of society. We kind of have an idea of where that went. But here's my favorite quote. You know, I was expecting kind of a mishmash, throw in a little greenness, and we are out-of-date socialist weirdos, but we're down, you know, we know what's going on. Well, no, it's just more stupid, much more stupid than that. And I quote, "We need a far bigger vision for change. To cut costs, mass production is what's needed." Mass production is what's needed. What is wrong with these people? How completely astoundingly retarded can you be? There is. I'm not going to get into this now, but we both just saw this. Maybe talk about it slightly, probably more next week. The new the spring summer issue of Anarchy magazine from our friends in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Well, just on that, glossy magazines, I had a little note on that because I'd been wondering what happened with Adbusters. I hadn't seen if they had a new issue out. And at the Eugene Public Library this morning, I saw the either February, March, April issue, the next one. And I didn't get a good long read on it, but the first several articles that I glanced over, it sounded like post-election Obama orgasm type, there is hope because we have a new president.
Appalling. You know, like you said before, and I said this too, you get your hopes up a little, kind of a good issue, and then it just bombs out again. It's just, I think the whole thing was awful, in my opinion, if I remember right. Fairly new issue, right?
Yeah, yeah. What's the cover? It's like...
Can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. A little catchy kind of title, but you open it and you start looking at the articles, the lead articles, and it's like, is the Democratic Party subsidizing this?
Well, you know, my friend Micah, who was a part of that magazine, of that project in Canada at one point, and is still close with Collie. He suggested that they solicit an article for me about the left, because the theme, I mean, I understand that sometimes the theme kind of shifts, it kind of mutates down the road, but they asked me to write this thing about why are you condemning the left kind of thing, as part of their what's wrong, why are we stuck, you know, what are the problems or the roadblocks kind of thing. So I did, and they didn't want it, and they put it in anarchy because I said... They rejected it, so anyway. Yeah,
well, my understanding is this is the last glossy issue of Anarchy.
Well, I don't quite fully understand. There's a letter that came with it. It's the last one that is going to be sold on newsstands, and they seem to be saying they're going to go in the direction of just online. So they've kind of announced that, and so that's the first step. I think foreseeably are still going to put out the hard copy thing. And one thing they propose, if you want to get a bunch of copies, is ship up a big box of them. And maybe as they transition away from print altogether, it's a little hard to say. They haven't definitively said it.
Uh-huh.
But there was an editorial from Aragorn, who's definitely said this in the past. Magazines are done. Zines are over. Which I don't totally agree with. I mean, who am I to say, though? Look at GA. We haven't had an issue in a year. But it's not because, for one thing, it's not because we don't have money. I mean, I got to tell you, we are not broke. So there's a demand for it. We just have some problems reorganizing and people busy with other stuff. It's not, I hope we are not dead. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe that is true.
I do think print media is going down.
Yeah.
That you're just seeing more and more is screen and more, you know, it shows to me the news, okay? Dinosaurs watch television news. I think Jon Stewart even, which was supposedly Cash of the Young, to watch that. For entertainment value, but I think mass media as we know it is on its way out, and it's individual, you know, it's the current technologies.
That's too bad, because you and I can't master the current technologies at all, can we? What do you think, Carl? Is it really done for?
I think the print media is definitely the dinosaur.
Curses.
The dinosaur in the room.
I see. Yeah.
But I will say, though, that to read on a screen with the light effects, with the digitalization effects or whatever, it's just not, it's a unpleasant experience. It holds my neck, you know, regardless of the ergonomics. It's less free than the sensual of touching a book or turning it, you know. I mean, it's just less sensory involvement. It's visual and light.
Probably destroys the retina too, right? Like cell phones give you brain
cancer. Lot worse than reading, yeah.
Oh boy. Well, 3460645 or 541 preceding that, if you're not in Eugene, Oregon. We had a bunch of calls last week.
What was that?
Some Portlanders booing. I bet that's what it is. Yeah, we'll play a little music and then we'll get going again.
What are we going to listen to?
Oh, this is a friend in Brazil, Cartola. Marcelo sent up some music recently. We played a little bit before. We're going to play two tracks probably tonight.
Gino. Oh, Gino. Oh, Omeira. Canhoto. Cadê o Gilberto aí? Vamos mandar abraço. sabe que vou partir com os olhos rasos d'água e o coração ferido. Quando lembrar de ti, me lembrarei também deste amor proibido, fácil demais. Fui presa, servi de pasto em tua mesa, mas fique certa que jamais terás o meu amor, porque não tem o dor. Faço tudo pra evitar o mal, sou pelo mal perseguido. Só que faltava era esta, fui trair meu grande amigo, mas vou limpar a mente. Sei que errei, errei inocente. Sabes que vou partir com os olhos rasos d'água e o coração ferido. Quando lembrar de ti, me lembrarei também deste amor proibido, fácil demais. Fui presa, sirvi de pasto em tua mesa, mas fique certa que jamais terás o meu amor, porque não tem o dor, só porque não tem.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of KWVA Radio or the Associated Students of the University of Oregon. Anarchy Radio is an editorial collage providing analysis and opinions of John Zerzan and the community at large. You want to go?
I'm lost. Go.
Okie dokie. Well, the loneliness is part of the shootings, and this is obviously not going away, this very chilling phenomenon. And getting back to this new book, The Lonely American, and when you think of all the different aspects of that, for example, on a rather simple or even superficial level in terms of ecology, you've got all these people living alone, and everyone who can afford, you know, the minimal things like a washing machine, or maybe not that, but, you know, stove, toilet, all the different facilities for one person. I mean, that's odd in itself. And then again, the connection there, probably more people living alone take more of the pharmaceuticals, the antidepressants, just a guess there, and which goes into the toilet and pollutes the water. And there we go. Anyway, this whole thing is joined up in so many ways, all of which I think accelerate the state of bereft non-community, you know. And
well, that's what I came down to talk about,
okay.
The state of the bereft non-community. So here's a quote from January, New York Times Magazine. It says, "But what does it mean to have a vibrant civil society on your computer screen and a police state in the street?" And that's like random, thrown out there. And the day-to-day reality is kind of like more and more people are in their isolated. If they're lucky, they have a toilet and their own, you know, roof over their head and some food. But more and more not even having that. But no connection. You know, just the isolated individuals. And since I last was down here for the show, a couple of the books I brought that I'd read are like, Layla, your guest, a couple weeks ago, had said, "Oh, you gotta read We by Yevgeny Zamyatin, We, classic, you know, sci-fi. It was written in the 20s. And basically presents this city. The cities are glass-covered domes, and the country, the green, the wild, is unknown, stayed away from. And this is the world of freedom to work, freedom to be free of freedom, essentially.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's been a sense for a long period of time. You can go through various authors. This guy Zamyatin apparently influenced Orwell in 1984. The future that we're living, you know, this whole techno society. People have been raising red flags. There's been an awareness of people. And I don't know, I want to kick around with you just the whole where we're at today. The sense like people, there's a, you know, whether it's Ted Kaczynski, whether it's a caller called in about Crepuscular Dawn by Paul Virilio. 2002. Mm-hmm. And then, so what was his little great quote from here, or on the back cover? The fate that may befall us if we surrender our individual selves to some collective dream of technology. This is like 2002, and he's totally on the genetic bomb, the total accident that is, you know, the threat to existence, that within... If you have the Titanic, then you have sinking ocean liners. You know, it's like the dialectic. If you have towers, or if you have airplanes, then you have towers returning to the horizontal position. It's like none of this stuff is new. We're barreling. You know, the technology is barreling forward. And the genetic manipulations of human life. Virilio in this Crepuscular Dawn, I would really recommend that. I mean, he just says it's the end of human life as we know it. It's a prosthetic being. It's a machine-human interface that is, there's an end to life as we know it. And when I brought up yesterday, New York City, these mass crowds on the street are so fearful, okay? They're afraid their job, their stocks, their retirement, their kids, you know. They're so just afraid, people living with fear, that a sound causes a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it to me feels like America right now. There's this sense, you know, ooh, the financial. In the last week or two, all the pundits, oh, yeah, the stock market's going, you know, oh, it's all better, it's only a recession kind of thing. But kind of the climate you sense is, or I feel I sense, and maybe it's me, but it's like a foreboding.
Mm-hmm.
A foreboding, but not a sense that you can act, that you need to do something.
Yeah. Well, it is all locked together. I mean, you wonder, well, why do people choose the synthetic? Why do they retreat from the real world? And you know, that's the depth of the question. I mean, for example, I saw this, here's a piece here from this last, 2 days ago, New York Times Magazine, one of the endless articles, this one by Peggy Orenstein, growing up on Facebook, can you forge your future self when you never leave the present? You know, and I was thinking of the different ways in the literature of anthropology that it said, it's one of the things that first got my attention to that literature in the 1980s, the line... characteristically about how our forebears in band society before civilization lived in a timeless present. But now, and I think Virilio talks about this in places, and I haven't read that book, but, you know, there's this instantaneous kind of erasure of time. Everything is instantaneous, and there's a demand that it be so. But so when she poses this question about always living totally in the present, it's a faux present. I mean, just like it's a contrived intimacy, too. I mean, you could say, well, what's wrong with Facebook? What's wrong with kids being on their cell phones all the time? They're in touch with each other. It's cool. It's social. It's everything. Well, but what is the nature of that? I mean, what is, you know, it's, among other things, it's the acme of the symbolic. It's just nothing but representation. You'd rather be on the phone than be with somebody who might be 50 yards away, you know, because, so in other words, it's just this total representation. And that isn't the present at all. That's just
right. Right. It's not the present.
But people do go for it, you know. And again, there's that deeper question. Well, what is the appeal, you know? And what has been taken? What? How much has been taken away so that this becomes an attractive alternative or substitute? You know, it's very hard to. I don't know how to grasp that.
I mean, that's what Virilio is hitting on, is speed. You mm-hmm. know, he has the word dramology, the science of speed or something, but this whole acceleration, this insane acceleration that time and space, which are real, you know, to humans previously, pretty kind of determining factors, where you accelerate everything and you destroy, basically. What's the present?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and work does that. You know, I mean, that's certainly a basic reason for the computerization of everything, to make transactions go faster, to make work go faster, so people are consequently exhausted.
I mean, well, that's technology,
yeah.
Right? That's the machine. The
You're
purpose
right.
is
along with
to
the economics of people working two jobs just to get by. I mean, it's. But yeah, it is speed. It is speed, and we, including me, if the computer is slow compared to what? I mean, you know what I mean? You start blowing a fuse if it's taking 2 seconds instead of, you know, a tenth of a second, you know, for something to be moving on the screen or, you know, sending a message or whatever.
Right, right.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, what comes to mind for me though is the situationist and the idea of the image. And that whole, I mean, because when you say anthropology and living in the present, what strikes me is that was one of the attractions to me of art and the situation of living in the present, appreciate, you know, being present. And within, I don't know, I was thinking about this as I looked for art to connect with in Portland, in my immediate life, in your day-to-day life. And it's just, God, the poverty of everyday life right now, I think is just some, you know, maybe it's the end of winter, but I do think there's this degradation that goes to the kids on the Facebook
mm-hmm.
about when, you know, how did we already reach a point where human beings' ability to think or act critically
mm-hmm.
already is gone?
Well,
you know, what happens to these 9-year-olds who are raised on Facebook,
yeah,
raised on the games, the video games, their social networks are via machines. At 12, you know, can we hope? Hope, that's right, that's Obama, hope. Hope for change or something? Do we think, oh, by 12, then maybe, oh, they'll be tired of it all and then they'll go see the kid next door? You know,
the more
come
pervasive
on.
It gets, the less likely that is. I mean, I used to do a lot of childcare, and I remember this one lad who was just obsessed with video games. Couldn't get him outside on a perfect summer day. He just couldn't. And now, and he absolutely lost interest totally. But I think it's much more. It's it's just a much more total context. And I think that's why this writer brings it up, growing up on Facebook, and she's implying, are they growing up? I mean, cut off from so many things, you know, and you know, getting back to the speed thing, I was, when you said that, I was thinking of the, met this guy, Solentin, this French guy who spent a lot of time in Guyana, at least a couple of decades, and some other anarchists know this guy, real interesting guy, trying to, he was proposing that Western anarchists, primitivists go there, because, anyway, the whole long thing. But I remember his story, which I think I've recounted. He could see that some of these groups were starting to get the technology, and he was rowing a canoe, and some of his indigenous friends had an outboard motor, and they pull up to him going the other direction, and they said, or wherever they were going, and they said, they knew, he told them where he was going, and he said, you can get there in 30 minutes if you had a motor. Why are you going to paddle that thing for a whole day or whatever it was, something like that? And then they left, and what he was talking about was what we have to tell them is what they're going to lose. They're going to lose the whole ball game. And but even deeper, perhaps, or maybe it has to do with how pervasive it is, why would those people already care how long it takes? You know, that's just a modern imposition. If, you know, what is the schedule? Why don't you take it easy and go down the river like he's doing it? I mean, what is the rush? And these are people in the forest. They have had almost zero contact with the modern society. But already they're laughing at him because it's going to take a lot longer. And he's trying to figure out, you know, in other words, that makes the whole situation occur to him. Like, wow, that's where it's at. But yeah, it's even deeper when you get to the speed thing and the time thing. And
One thing Virilio makes the point, the whole, with the growth of technology, it's the shrinking of the planet. The planet becomes an enclosure because you shorten distance, whether it's yourself going 1 hour to Portland, or then before you know it, 1 hour can take you by plane to Washington, D.C., to 1 hour can take you to China, or 1 hour can take you escape velocity, take you out of the, so, you know, out of the planet, out of the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, that shrinks. Everything becomes the same. And so, you know, Disneyland in Orlando becomes a Disneyland in France, everything's the same, everything's standardized. It's just that whole reproduction of the machine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. New lands to conquer in a shorter period of time. Slumdog Millionaire is so huge. Suddenly we're in India, and actually going to India in November. I mean, I've traveled a fair amount, but I thought, wow, India, that's going to take forever. It's going to be, well, Eugene to San Francisco to Taipei, overnight to Taipei, and then another 7 hours from China to India. And it just seemed like, wow, just took a nap, and here we are in India. You know what I mean? It wasn't as far as I thought. You know what I mean? Just what you're saying. It's kind of scary.
Right, wow. Right.
I mean, I didn't want to be tortured. I didn't want to be, you know, still like 20 hours in a plane. It's not, you know, but it didn't seem, you know, it just seemed like suddenly it's all being pushed together, right?
And the way of life that takes you there is what's carried, and the whole globe becomes reproduction of that way of life. And indeed. So you've got the forest people with the outboard motor.
Yeah, it's really something. Well, again, you're approaching your last chance here, 3460645.
Come on, call in on how great the technology is and how we just need to socialize it for the masses.
Yeah. I'm so glad you came down last month.
Everybody gets a piece, you know. When you were showing the International Socialist Review, I saw on that article you were quoting, they had a photo of wind turbines. And
oh, wow.
That's the you know, the whole thing, the green technology, the so-called how to make it better. And it's just, we use the wind and sun to destroy the planet. The birds that explode by the wind turbines, you know. Or,
don't worry about development. We got it covered. We're developing.
We're developing for you.
For you.
For you. It's for everybody. Share the wealth.
Socialist.
Share the wealth.
Technology.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so wonderful. Well, yeah, and of course, this is grounded in terms of the picture that just steadily worsens, and it seems like, you know, almost a broken record, and yet it's very important stuff to at least mention. Somebody on the air, on the phone?
Yeah, we got Jeff.
Yeah, hey.
Jeff, hi.
Hey, I was just going to show you, what is it, a cynical version of successful use of technology in socializing. My kid's a video game guy. I can't stop him. But anyway, so we're at the video game store, and I'm just kind of checking stuff out. Anyway, so there's this dude playing this thing. It's called Sim Family, where you can create your own family and create. You can have these little barbecue parties in the back and everything, and you can create all these little individual people and have this whole thing where there's this whole model on how you. If you don't have a social life, you can make one on the computer for you.
Virtual reality. It's better than
the
actual
reality. The weird thing
reality.
Is, so I'm turning around. I was just reading the book, and there's this, like, 14-year-old kid who is playing this game on the computer, so I'm watching him. But what he's got going on is he has, in the bedroom on the computer, there's, I think he's the girl, but there's these two teenage kids that are on the computer screen making out in the bedroom, and I think he's driving the girl with his little joystick thing. And, you know, instead of chasing girls, he's on the video game kind of pretending, you know. But all of a sudden, the thing pops up about this girl and says, you've unlocked a new feature. Which I just, anyway, so there's something going on where, you know, you used to be able to get to first base, but now you unlock new features.
Oh, and, my.
Anyways, and so, you know, so I just kind of, the kids should be chasing girls, real ones. You know, but anyways, the computer nerds are creating fake girls so that they can all go...
creepy. Instead of human interaction, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, it's really nothing new, right? There's that old movie, Cherry 2000, and, you know, the ideas have been out there for a while, but seeing it for real in front of me was really strange. Anyways, I just had to share.
No
doubt.
Yeah, love the show. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at video games. Much, they're getting much more realistic, I know that. They're getting... well, and meanwhile, this happened last week. Some of Australia's most popular beaches, big old oil spill, and it was much worse than originally thought, the north of Sydney. No, north of Brisbane. It's always worse. It's always getting worse. Faster. It's always... Or the acidic, the oceans are becoming much more acidic. And where is the source of this? Human pollution is turning the seas into acid so quickly that the coming decades will recreate conditions not seen on Earth since the time of the dinosaurs. And the ocean levels are rising faster than the very recent estimates. And let's see, what is another horrifying one in the past few days? Oh, with even the lowest projected temperature increase, 2 degrees Celsius, that's in respect to the next 30 years, there will be a catastrophic loss of rainforest, the Amazonian rainforest in particular. That would be 85% of the Amazonian rainforest at risk of destruction, which will have huge global consequences with the lowest temperature increase. And I love this kind of language here. Just to mention this has to do with oceans, but I'll cut to the chase. The climate change due to the gases, primarily carbon dioxide, and I thought of a certain parallel here. This is from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration studies, new study. To a large extent, there's no going back. Isn't what they always say that to primitivists? You can't go back. There's no going back. You know,
there's only going down.
Yeah.
That's what I say. You're going down.
You want this?
You're going down, brother.
It sounds more brainless all the time. The more they repeat that, you can't go back. Do you want to, you know, I don't think they mean literally it's irreversible. So I'm hoping they don't mean that, but... Yeah. Or again, Janos Biros, this kid in Brazil that I met with his booklet, with the people going up over the cliff and going into the precipice, and the caption says, "We've come so far, we can't go back now." Yeah, how much more reality?
Right. Well, I was talking to somebody. Remember that Society of the Spectacle, the cover page where everybody's staring at the screen
3D.
And they have their spectacles on? Well, drive by a coffee shop like Starbucks or whatever, and everybody's sitting there looking at their screen. I was thinking, the whole idea, Society of the spectacle, you know, taking it forward, update. That was written 59, 60.
Which one?
When do you do Society of the Spectacle?
Oh,
the board.
In the
68. It was just published. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You take it forward, it's the individual with their own screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a book about TV, and I can't think of the guy's name. One of the chapters was called Big Brother Is You Watching. You know, that's you're tuning in. It's not the big screen of Big Brother who's blasting into your room. It's you are watching. It's,
right.
It isn't watching you. You are watching. Little turn on that one. I thought it was pretty good. Well, but it is late winter, and you know, we're all a little bit we're all feeling a little down. But I think it's going to be a good spring with some good prospects. And I can't wait to get to Finland and Spain in May. There's just, you would think, you know, the power of negative thinking. I mean, when you got, like here's another one, just strictly at random. A Nicholas Kristof column in the New York Times the other day about hog farmers, you know, industrial agriculture, in this case, hogs. Not chicken, but hogs.
Methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus.
Exactly. Are hog farmers breeding flesh-eating bacteria? So industrial agriculture meets industrial medicine, which has failed. You know, it's all drug-resistant. They pump these poor animals full of stuff, and the diseases get only worse. Like you were saying, there's a dialectic between you build this, and then how far does it fall? You know, that kind of thing. Seems to me.
Yeah. Well, I have a quote to end it with. It cannot be said that I have too much esteem for the present epoch, but if I do not despair of it, it is precisely because of its desperate situation, which fills me with hope.
Well, could that be Guy Debord?
There you go.
Okay.
The winner is.
That's a great one. Well, we've got a few more minutes, and oh, Donna's actually here. He was slightly late last week. The Noise Show. Don't forget the Noise Show. Yeah, I'm just kind of, I don't know what the word is, mesmerized by all these shootings and by the absolute silence. I mean, and in close second is the absolute silence. They report everything. It's not like the government is suppressing all the information, that there's no press that doesn't report the monstrous things that happen every day, to whether it's nature or whether it's people just murdering people. And
well, I mean, on Direct Action News, that was New York Times, had the article on bank robberies up 60%.
Well, here's the good news. Here's the ray of sunshine. And you gotta reach for this one. I didn't get to this last week, but at the very end of February, this came out in the journal Science, and I'm not sure why I see this as a ray of light, but it's interesting. As early as 1.5 million years ago, Homo erectus walked just like we do and probably looked a great deal like we do. In fact, I mean, they figured out they found these footprints that you almost never get, especially way back there from Kenya, from East Africa. They had and they were struck by these, they found other evidence, but that was one, the way they stepped, and they can figure out the gait, you know, by the depressions of it and the measurement of it and so forth. They were slightly shorter than us. but not much. And you know, they have evidence of the habitats and the camping and the stone tools from the same.
And what did they say? How many?
1.5 million years ago. And, you know, that's something that's coming out, too, how long people lived without going to the depraved lengths that mass society is going to so fast, and could figure things out and had the intimate knowledge of their world and, you know, egalitarian skills and all the rest of it, and, you know, no warfare and no property and all that stuff. I don't know. I find it quite thrilling to read these things. And this article doesn't talk about all of that, but and some people pick up on it. There's a new book by Sarah Blaffer Hurdy called Mothers and Others, The Evolutionary Origins of Mutual Understanding. And that goes right back to the cardinal trait of hunter-gatherer people or forager people or band society people, which is sharing. Where's the sharing? You know what I mean? This is wonderful. She was able to link in with that obviously there were a lot of helpers. It wasn't the isolated nuclear family. That's not the way they lived in terms of child-rearing, basically.
Very good. Is it a standing ovation?
No, we don't have one of those.
Don't have enough people clapping. Yeah. We can work on it. Yeah, like I was thinking, it's. I'm sorry you didn't get to be here because of our guests, but I'm really happy you got down here for this third Tuesday.
Well, and I tell people, yeah, pick up that book, We. That's a good read.
Will do. I appreciate the copy. Thank you.
All right.
All righty.
Some of this music to go out with.
Good. From Basile.
Perdão para mim, se não nem sei qual será o meu fim. Para ter uma companheira, até promessas fiz. Consegui um grande amor, mas eu não fui feliz. E com raiva para os céus, os braços levantei, blasfemei. Hoje todos são contra mim. Sim, deve haver o perdão.